series is going to be the qualities of a healthy church. Qualities of a healthy church. Now we'll start with the reading of Titus 1 and verse 1 through 3. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness. You know, anytime you're proclaiming truth, it leads to godliness. We're not getting into that today, but we will eventually. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Let's pray. Father, help us again as we come to Your throne. Lord, we need help. Father, I pray for these messages that we'll deliver over the next several weeks while I'm here, Lord. And I just pray that You would help us as we think about this subject of the qualities of a healthy church. And I pray that You would help us to draw from this short letter to Titus from Paul some things that will change our lives, that will change our families, that will change our church. Lord, that would help us to be healthy individuals spiritually, healthy families, a healthy church. And Lord, that we might truly then be able to impact the world that is around us. We cannot make an impact out there, Lord, if we are not healthy spiritually. And so help us to understand that and all those things as we go through these messages. Teach us, guide us, help us to learn, help us to grow, and grab our attentions this morning, encourage us in the faith, and help me, Lord, to encourage Your people. And I pray in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, if I seem a little excited this morning, it's not because I had too much coffee. That was a few hours ago. I'm just really excited about these messages. I really am. I've been thinking about doing a series for some time on marks of a healthy church and use Mark Dever's book. He wrote a whole book on that. Really good. But that's not what this is about. I'm not even using him a whole lot in this. Nothing of his today. But he wrote a book on that. A really good book if you want to read that sometime. Marks of a Healthy Church by Mark Dever. But we want to start here in Titus and just really stay with some main thoughts that are in this book to bring about this series, Qualities of a Healthy Church. Now, these messages aren't going to be going, you know, verse by verse and just work our way through the letter, but really rather taking a step back and looking at the letter, understanding the main theme that Paul is dealing with as he writes to Titus, and draw some things from this short letter out in regards to that. Now the reason we have titled this Qualities of a Healthy Church is because there's a frequent word that is mentioned throughout this letter from Paul. It's the word sound. The word sound. Look in chapter 1 and verse 9. We see it there. He talks about how the man of God needs to be able to hold fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. You know, we'll get into this later, but for a healthy church there needs to be healthy leadership. The man of God who needs to be able to sound forth or echo forth a sound doctrine, healthy teachings of the Word of God. But we'll get to that in another message. Verse 13, we find this word again. This testimony is true, talking about the Cretans. He says, therefore, rebuke them sharply. They were lazy gluttons and other things we'll look at later. But it says, that they may be sound in the faith. There's that word sound again. We find the word again in chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. And then in verse 2, that the older men may be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith. And then in chapter 2 and verse 8, we find the word again. He talks there about the young men, that they have sound speech that cannot be condemned. Now, that word sound simply means healthy. It means healthy. And we use it still that way sometime today. We speak of being of a sound mind and a sound body. What we mean is we are healthy mentally and we are healthy physically. We are, have our capacities about us. And so we use it like that some today. Now, without a doubt, when you look at Paul's desires in writing to Titus, it would be that, that Titus would be able to lead the churches there in Crete to be healthy churches. You have to get that when you see how much he and what he talks about. When you see what he talks about and how much he talks about it, he wants them to be able to be healthy there in Crete, and he's expecting Titus, the man of God, to help them to be a healthy church. Which brings us to our first and main thought for today is this: a healthy church in a corrupt culture. Because that's exactly what that place was. It was corrupt. When you consider how corrupt the culture was in Crete, this should actually encourage us today in our culture. Listen, Paul wrote to Titus in such a way that he knew that there could be healthy churches in a region that had a very corrupt, paganistic culture around them. He instructed them on how to be a healthy church, and then in results of that, to counter the culture that they were in, as we'll get into that in the chapter 3 in weeks to come. But just look at the culture a little bit. I don't want to focus too much on it, but it's an important point to establish some things. Consider the culture that is spoken of here in Titus. I mean, look at what Titus is up against. In chapter 1 and verse 10 through 16, we have a good description of some of what opposed Titus's leadership there in Crete. And as Paul describes some of the people there, start in verse 10 of chapter 1, he says, "For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially though of the circumcision." So it's coming from religious leaders, "whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said Cretans are always liars." I mean, what a testimony, what an acknowledgement of yourself and of your own people. It's almost, why are they saying this on themselves? They're proud of it. It's one of their own. We're always liars. They're not even ashamed of it. "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." And what does Paul say this? "This testimony is true." What they say about themselves is true. This is the way it is. "Therefore, rebuke them sharply." And so, again, the man of God needs to be able to speak to them, "that they may be sound in the faith." So don't give up. Speak with the purpose that they would change. "Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth." So don't give an inch, Titus. Stick with the stuff. "Not giving heed. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified or reprobate for every good work." I mean, do you think Titus had some work cut out for him? Do you think that they had a corrupt culture? Indeed, they did. I mean, we see in verse 10, he talks about them having a spirit of insubordination, meaning there's no respect for authority. We see that, of course, today. No authority for parents. And then we wonder why there's such disrespect for civil authority. Verse 11, we see that some were seeking after dishonest gain. Is there not every kind of scheme under the sun today in the secular world and in the religious world to try to exploit us with deceptive words to get money? It's always been a problem, apparently, in the world. People using religion as a means of great gain. We're filled today with religious charlatans, right? Verse 12, we see that many were liars, lazy, and gluttons. Honesty, that's a rare trait today, right? We have become a very lazy culture. Our work ethics are terrible in our society. We're filled with gluttonous behavior, very little self-control with any of our appetites or desires for pleasure. Verse 14, we see that there was an emphasis on stories rather than the truth. Many, even in churches, are concerned about being entertained by a good storyteller rather than hearing somebody preach the word. You know, Paul told Timothy, the young preacher, he said, preach the word. He said, because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth, and being turned aside to fables. In verse 16, we see that they were those who seemed to be religious, professed to know God, and yet at the same time abominable. They profess to know God, but at the same time abominable, disobedient, and reprobate, or disqualified for every good work. I mean, that's just a little summary there, okay? I don't want to focus on that. What I want to just give you is let you see what the culture was like, what Titus was up against. And we can say, wow, it kind of sounds like today. Oh, you know why? Human nature hasn't changed. It hasn't changed one bit. Today there's many who claim to know God and His Son Jesus, and at the same time practice abominable sins. I was going to reach down and get me a drink of water, and this baby bottle was down there, and I had to laugh. I thought, I wondered if there was any water in it, because I knew I had some. I got to get a drink. I'm sorry. Oh, by the way, take these home and fill them up. All right. And so we see that today. Say, man, it's just bad, right? Now, has not this summary of what Titus was up against not make you think of today? I mean, all in the name of religion, doing abominable things. I mean, we have people in Christianity approving of sins that are abominable. But listen, that's not new, folks. It's not new. And so, like I said, what does this let us know? Listen, human nature hasn't changed. Now, I realize, we'll say, well, the Bible says evil men and seducers so wax worse and worse. I think we will see that. But the nature of sin hasn't changed in mankind. Many of the problems that God's people and the church has had to face are the same. And here's the point I want to make in that, is that it's important for us to realize this, because we need to know this truth today. We need to know this, that we do not have any good excuses on why we cannot be spiritually healthy Christians, have a spiritually healthy church in this current age. I don't know, I feel like I just really need to emphasize that. Let us not think so much of ourselves and our time we live in as to think that no Christians before us have ever had it so hard to serve Jesus as we do. Folks, listen, in our day and age, in current America, nobody's ever had it so easy. Have any of us ever had to decide if baptism was important enough to us that we were going to obey the Lord even if we were going to be burned at the stake or drowned? None of us have ever been faced with that decision. People of the past have, and Christians today face those things in other countries. Now, we do have our own unique struggles. I get it. We have a different battle on different fronts, if you would. We do have our own struggles, and because of the times today and technology, the spiritual warfare is maybe unique in approach to us as it has been to saints of old. All the globalization today, the internet and social media, I get it. These are different struggles, you know, that we battle against here in our time. And here in America, we have different types of struggles maybe in certain areas, but Let us not be so proud and full of ourselves to think that, boy, our times are just so much harder to serve the Lord than churches of the past. Really? I don't think so. Not for us today, not here, not for New Testament Baptist Church. I'm not belittling any struggles you face. I'm not at all. But in comparison to the spiritual battles that we face here in America for us today, they're nothing in comparison to what many saints of God are going through other parts of the world and what they went through in the past. But here's the thing. The same things Paul taught Titus that could help them to have a healthy church are the same things that will help us. The same things. We do not need new and improved message. Well, because the times are different, we need a more relevant message. No. We have a very relevant Bible. The Word of God is timeless. The same weapons of our warfare still work for us today as they have for saints and churches of all times. Now, what is not written here in Titus is some history that you can go back and find. Here in this island of Crete here, from what I've read, they had the worship of the god Zeus in this place. Zeus was the main god of this island. The Bible Project stated this. It said, the mythology was so entrenched in Cretan culture that the churches in Paul's day were integrating their understanding of the Christian God with the prevailing views about the Greek gods. Well, we don't see any of that happening today, do we? I could spend a lot of time on that and how that is going on. But he said mainly of Zeus. This was bad news, especially in light of the kind of man become God Zeus was. It's recorded that he loved to seduce women by any means necessary, even by assuming godlike characteristics to get what he wanted. Basically, using godlike characteristics to do whatever. Boy, that's the kind of culture we've got. A man becoming God kind of theology as well. But anyhow, in their culture at that time, they had the following of these false gods, and then some were seeking to take those false gods and integrate them into the Christian culture, to the Christian God. You know, Satan loves to corrupt the worship and knowledge of the true God with the teaching of false gods. How in the world are we going to fight against such things? Now, it is not my desire at all in these messages to simply inform you, hey, listen guys, you need to know this, it's bad out there. Okay? I've done that plenty, and we need reminded of that, and we would all likely agree it's bad out there. It's ungodly, it's antichrist, it's getting worse and worse, and we could all say amen to that. We agree, all right? But we are not the only ones to face such a culture. And neither are we the first. My heart and desire in these messages is to encourage us as a church and as a people of God to live spiritually healthy lives, and that can be done, and we'll look at some things in future messages on how that is to be done. But we can have spiritually healthy lives, families, and a church. I simply do not want us to live with a defeatist attitude that says, it's just too bad out there for me, it's too bad out there for my family, it's too bad out there for our church. Boy, if we're just a little bit spiritually healthy, we're okay. I don't want us to think like that. Will it be hard? Yes. Listen, growing spiritually is hard work. Will it take spiritual hard labor? Yes. Will it mean not being lazy in our spiritual growth? Yes. Will it mean that we must give time to spiritual exercises? Yes. Will it mean involvement in one another's lives to help them grow and be strong? Discipleship? Yes, it will involve that and much more. But the point at the moment is this. We can grow. We can be spiritually healthy. We can be more like Jesus in our individual lives, in our families. We can be a spiritually healthy church. We can do the Lord's work here, and we can overcome the culture's influence into our lives, home, and church. Paul teaches Titus how they could overcome in their time. And those same principles that we will see laid out in Titus will work for us. But we must put to practice, not just listen. We must put to practice what is taught in God's Word to be our guide in this, that we may live fruitful lives for His honor and fit for His glory in the day that we live in today. It's not just simply showing up, listening to preaching, and saying amen. We need sound preaching. That's part of it we'll get to eventually. It's not just that. It's taking that within our hearts, it changing us inwardly, and then going out there and doing something outwardly in our culture. We can be a healthy church in a corrupt culture because our spiritual health is not dependent upon what the culture teaches. It's not dependent upon that. Can a culture influence it? Absolutely, if we let it. But we are without excuse this morning. Our spiritual growth is to depend upon what is pure and godly and timeless, the rock solid Word of God. It's the same Word today as they had in Titus' day, and it's as good for us today as it was for them. Satan wants us to believe that we cannot rise to the occasion. He wants us to believe that it's too bad out there, that we cannot really walk with God when it's so dark out there in the world, that our families cannot walk with Jesus and be a truly Christian home, and that the church cannot thrive spiritually healthy. He wants us to believe those things. Men, He wants you to believe that it's just so bad in this world that we can't love our wives like we should, that we can't teach our children, that we cannot serve the Lord like we ought. Satan wants us to live in a mindset where we make excuses for ourselves as men, children, women, parents, leaders, church members, etc., and say, well, it's just all different now, preacher. Times are harder. We serve the same God. It's the same Word. We have the same Holy Spirit. Jesus is with us, and He will always help us to serve Him. We, as a people of God, have the proper tools and weapons to be able to grow spiritually and live healthy spiritual lives that are likened more unto the image of Jesus Christ. God foreseen every obstacle. He foreseen every avenue of unrighteousness that would come at us. He knew about the internet going to come up. He knew about the social media. And He gave us everything spiritually in our arrows or in our weaponry to be able to combat and to live a life of glory for Him and to grow spiritually. Look at turn to 2 Peter if you would. I hope I don't sound mad this morning. I'm actually pretty excited. So I know I'm a little loud constantly this morning, but I'm just really excited about this because I feel like we need that. Don't we need that? Oh, man. Church. I must be preaching too loud or too strong. I never take two drinks of water. One maybe, but never two. I'll tone it down a little bit. Okay. You talked me into it. 2 Peter, I want to read a few verses here because this speaks to what we're talking about. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Now that's all keyed about what He's about ready to say. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having what? Escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He's saying, what I've just told you is what's enabled you to overcome the world, to escape the world through lust. And so can you see that right there? Now, through His divine power, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And everything you need to serve the Lord, when this was written, it was here. We had it. The Word of God. This was written to a people. Peter is written to a people that was experiencing great persecution, to saints that were scattered. It's not even addressed to a church, because the people of God were scattered all over the place. And he says, you have been given to you through the divine nature, speaking of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, you have everything that pertains to life and godliness. And then what does he talk about? Verses 5 through 9, he talks about what? Spiritual growth, being spiritually healthy. Let's read that, because it's important to see the flow here of Peter. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. Oh my, listen, we'll stop right there just for a second. We allow ourselves so much liberty to practice the lack of self-control because, you know, we kind of deserve it because things are just so bad. We're allowed a little bit of, you know, a lack of self-control, right? Because things are just so hard out there. At least I'm not like the rest of the world and how out of control they are. I'm not that much out of control. We allow ourselves too many excuses because of the culture and how bad everything else is. He's writing to a people who are persecuted and scattered everywhere for the faith. And he says, you know what? God's given you guys everything you need. You need to be growing in the Lord. You'd think he'd come along and say, listen, guys, listen, just try to stick with the stuff. Just try to, you know, just kind of stay where you're at. I understand you're having a hard time. You're all going through a lot. And you know what? I really understand if you don't thrive and grow and prosper spiritually, because, man, times are just really tough. Just hang in there. No? You guys, God's given you everything you need. I know you're scattered, you're persecuted, some of you are getting killed, but God's given you everything you need for life and godliness. You need to grow in the Lord. You need to have some self-control. You need to add it to your life. You need to have some perseverance. You need to godliness, brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. Here's some reasons why he's saying that you won't grow. Here's some reasons why maybe you might let the culture get to you too much and you're not growing in the Lord. You're short-sighted. You're too focused on the present. Even to blindness. And what have they done? They haven't gotten their eyes on the Lord and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his own sins. Now, and so he tells them, listen, he tells them at a time they had given to them everything that pertained to life and godliness. And guess what? They didn't have thousands of Christian books written about the Bible. They didn't have YouTube video sermons. I'm not knocking those things. They're a great tool. I like it. They didn't have the latest methods on how to have a successful youthful ministry. Are you hearing this? What did they have? I need to know what they had. They had the Word of God. They had the Holy Spirit. They had the people of God. They had one another. Listen, yes, our challenges come from different directions and maybe unique in regard to media and such, technology and all of that, but it's the same wickedness. It's just filtered through different ways. It's the same wickedness just shooting at us from different cannons. But it's still the same Word. It's still the same sword of the Spirit that will take to help us to be faithful, to grow, and to be warriors of the cross of Jesus Christ and to ward off all the fiery darts of Satan in the day in which we live. You know, Peter tells them there that they had escaped the corruption that was in the world, that they could grow spiritually and add to their faith. And then he said that you could have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But don't miss the key to their continued spiritual growth. We already mentioned it. Verse 9. If you're not growing, it's because you're short-sighted, you're blinded, you've forgotten, you're cleansed from your old sins. It's the message of the gospel of how Christ died for us and cleansed us from our old sins that enables us to grow spiritually. There's power in the gospel to take us to heaven, and there's power in the gospel to enable us to become more like Christ in our present day age. As we get up each day and focus on the Lord, remember what He's done for us, and put on Christ in His Word, we will find the strength, we will find the stamina, we will find the fortitude to go out there with the strength and purpose of God and faith in God and resolve to live for Him and glorify the One that died for us and gave us eternal life. We must not get tired of the gospel and its implication and application upon our lives. It's in Christ alone and His work where we find the purpose and work for Him. We must not forget that. Now back to Titus. Listen, we can be a healthy church. We can. Believing the truth, that's where it starts. Growing spiritually, internal holiness, and doing good in the culture. Those are three signs of a healthy church. We'll get into my next message next week, Lord willing. But notice the emphasis, if you would, on truth, godliness, and good works in this letter. Because that's the qualities of a healthy church. All three of those things. Not just one of them. Not just two of them. All three of them are signs of a healthy church. Truth, sound doctrine. Godliness, sound life. For me, you, internally, sound works or will be the result of it. Healthy works, good works. But look, I want you to just, we're going to go through Titus real quick, highlight some verses. 1:1 says what? The acknowledgement of the truth, which is after godliness. Truth always leads to godliness, personal holiness. Verse 2, he says this. Speaks of His Word through preaching, which was committed to Him according to the commandment of God our Savior. There speaks of the Word of God. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." Verse 2, we already read this earlier, but sound in the faith. Verse 8, sound speech, there's your words. Verse 14, why did Christ give Himself for us but to purify for Himself His own people? Zealous for good works. You find good works all throughout Titus. We find good works in chapter 2, verse 6, about a pattern of good works. In chapter 1, he talked about those who are disqualified for every what? Good work. Chapter 3 and verse 1 talks about to be ready for every good work. Verse 8, that we should be careful to maintain good works. There's three things that are prominent in this short letter of Titus. Truth. We have holiness, personal holiness, and good works. Prominent in this letter. One builds up unto the other. We start with truth of the Word of God. We internalize that, if you would, into personal holiness. And then we live it out in this life with good works and make an impact through that godly living upon our culture. We see that in chapter 3. And we'll go back and we'll look at that. But the truth I want to bear out in this morning is we can do all of those things. We can hold the truth. We can grow spiritually in holiness. And we can have a healthy church that is doing the works of God and making a difference in the culture that we live in. I don't want to simply just get by. I don't want to just simply stand back and just ward off the darts and say, boy, that didn't hurt. But I don't want us to go forward with the sword of the Spirit, with the Word of God, making a difference in our world. So really, this message is not as much about the qualities of a healthy church, but rather, this first one, more an encouragement to you. For you to know that we can be a healthy church, that we do not need, as a church, because of how wicked the world is, to live in defeat and think, boy, we've been kicked down so low, so much in our lives, our families, and our church, that we just need to be content to lay on the ground and getting kicked so long as we exist. We can and we should, and I hope we shall, rise as men, lead our families, and put on the whole armor of God. We can raise our children right in this culture. When we learn to use the means of God, we can be a church that does not capitulate to the wants of the world. We can thrive spiritually in this culture. God is not bound. His Word is not bound. His people is not bound. His church is not bound. His truth sets us free. It empowers us to live for Him. We can be a bright light, shining like on a hill to all the world around us. We can be a beacon of hope. And God can help us to be a healthy church, more and more like Jesus Christ, who is our head. Let us daily submit to our Lord, and we will become more like Him. Don't let these be your favorite words. But in conclusion, we may rightly say that one of the first qualities of a healthy church is the knowledge that we can be a healthy church, no matter the culture. Done with excuses. Because Jesus has given us everything we need for spiritual growth. I like good Christian books. I do. I read them. Not a fast reader, but I read them. I like good sermons. I like being able to go back and look at sermons. I like all those things. But listen, we could have every bit of that stripped away from us. We could take every good Christian book, every Christian sermon that's saved up on YouTube and have no access to that, none of that, and only have this book. And we can thrive spiritually today. Maybe the problem is sometimes we're listening to too many voices. Don't even listen to just my voice. Get in this Word. Let this be the main voice in your life, speaking truth every day to your heart. And men, let's take this Word seriously. We can we can lead our families. We can, as individual men, we can overcome the wickedness of our culture. We can be godly, godly men who are strong in the faith, pillars in the church. We can be godly men who love our wives, who lead our children. No excuses. Say, well, the phones are just too bad. No excuses. Do something about it if it's affecting your house that way. Do something about it. No excuses. We can overcome. He's given us the tools. Take the Word of God unto your home, to your wives. Lead them spiritually. You are without excuse here. He's given it to us. And we can have spiritually healthy lives, families. If we do that, guess what? We will be a spiritually healthy church. Strong church comes from strong men who are leading their families to be strong families, to be strong wives, to be strong parents, to raising godly children. It doesn't all fall on me. It falls on all of us, every one of us. And we're going to get into that in the future, how important not only godly leadership is, but discipleship taking place, mentoring taking place in the church, not just right here, but in individual lives, connecting to one another, doing ministry to one another. We need that. That's what you see in chapter 2. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I want you to go to Titus, read it, see it, and let's grow together. Father in heaven, I pray, Father, that you'd use this message for your honor and for your glory. Father, I'm excited about these messages. I really am, and I'm so thankful that you've led in this direction to focus on this. And I pray for the people that I minister to here, Father, that you would open our understanding and help us to know, Lord, that we can grow and thrive spiritually and become more and more like Christ, no matter what the rest of the world is doing, no matter how wicked it is out there. It does not have to matter. We can grow no matter what. When we are a people of the Word of God, you've given us everything we need. Your Word, your Spirit, your church, one another. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. God, you've given it all to us. Father, help us as men to rise and to lead like men. Men of God. Strong men like Daniel, who faced his world and his culture and was determined to serve God even if he was the only one. Give us men like that. Valiant men of faith. Make us strong men in this place. Call us to higher ground. Help us to hear that and to respond to it as men. To rise. To not cower. To not fear. But to have faith in our God. Faith in His Word, knowing you've given us what we need to conquer, to overcome, to be godly, loving men of servants, men who know how to love and lead. God, give us men like that. And help us to be men like that and to lead these other young men like that. They might see that example. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's all stand, please. We sing.